Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence. And we have a special guest today.
We have a special guest, and he looks amazed already.
I think he loves the song.
I do love the song, but I've just never been in a podcast. Like, I've never done a podcast where I could hear the song.
Oh, yeah, like, because usually, most of them, there's headphones. Or
they're just usually done in, like, the song is done in post.
I know. I guess I'm lazy.
No, yeah, this is perfect. Or
I feel like the theme song gets us in the mood.
I do. When I do my podcast with my brother, I make a playlist that's an hour long, and then the last song is our theme song, and I know what the second to last song is, so that way I just let it play through the, because we do it live.
Yeah.
And so when it's our...
like your house music?
Yeah, yeah. We know where it goes. Like, we play the songs for an hour, and then... And then our theme song just starts.
That's amazing.
We know. Yeah.
That's like amazing. That. We have Jeff Tate, stand-up comedian, hilarious guy, from Ohio.
Yeah.
You just happened to be in Los Angeles for a little bit. And I've been trying to get you for the podcast for a year now.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, I also have offered Jeff, like, because occasionally I have Lakers tickets. But while you're here this time, I don't have any tickets.
He bought all of his tickets for after January. He wanted to see the Lakers gel before he paid actual money.
Oh, that's fair. That's probably a good reason. Yeah. It's like a happy byproduct.
The other reason why I bought them for January is that I have... previously purchased Lakers tickets and then forgot I had them. And then, like, the day of, I'm just like, oh no, I gotta go to this game.
Oh no.
Yeah, just as quick summary, a couple years ago I put myself on the Lakers season ticket waiting list, and then the year, like, Lonzo's first year, I was like, I got on the, you know, I could buy them, right?
Yeah. And you bought them, and now you're profiting off of
I didn't have the money, because it's like, I put myself on the list thinking I would get off of it in like 2030 or something.
Right, right.
So it wasn't like, and I was like, by then I'll have enough money to buy season tickets, because you have to show up and buy 41 tickets.
And they all cost like $100.
And I don't want to buy one, I have to buy two.
Right.
You know, so. And then they signed LeBron, and now I'm back on the waiting list. Like, I will never get off the list until LeBron's off, because it just, the year before Lonzo, a bunch of people let their tickets go.
I understand, but aren't you better suited right now to have that waiting list come through when Bron Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could have season tickets for all of Bron Jr.'s prime.
I mean, I do have season tickets for Bron Jr. I got my Crossroads season tickets. Crossroads Santa Monica. Getting ready to head down and watch
his academy.
Crossroads Santa. Yeah, that's where he goes to high school. So I'm excited to watch Bronny Jr. I mean, he's already in L.A. and we're ready to support LeBron Jr.
I actually watched a little bit of Spire Basketball Academy highlights.
Ooh, some Bob Rozowski.
That is where LaMelo is playing. Is that the youngest one? LiAngelo.
LiAngelo is the middle one. LaMelo is the youngest one. He is playing at Spire Academy in Ohio.
And is it in Ohio?
It is in Ohio. And
you could get in on the Spire Academy.
LaMelo ground floor.
Maybe you could put together a fake basketball team that they could play against, because all the real high school basketball teams are refusing to play them.
Oh, because, is that true?
Yeah, because LaMelo is a professional basketball player.
Oh, right.
Technically. I mean, it really seems like they're kind of being babies about it. Like,
I agree.
The other high school is like, this kid is just getting dragged around by his dumb, loud dad.
Yeah.
And if he, you know, if he had his way, I bet he wouldn't have spent a year in Lithuania.
Oh, no.
I know a lot of teenage kids that like, I'll just not finish that sentence, because I should start a sentence.
Do you want to go from Los Angeles and then move to Eastern Europe that's not necessarily diverse?
Yeah.
And also it's cold a lot, and you're just hanging out with your brother and your dad.
And your main job is try to get your brother a basketball job.
Yeah.
When your brother is not that good at basketball.
Right, right. And like, now you're just focused on the middle one, right? Yeah. LiAngelo. He's the one that's not very good.
Yeah. He's not great, but you know, hey, maybe he'll...
I still think he should...
You know, construction? I don't know.
No, I still think he should have considered becoming a tight end a la Tony Gonzalez, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the tight end position in the NFL is pretty weak right now.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's not not great.
I don't follow the NFL.
You got like four good tight ends, and that's it.
Who are they? Name them. Go.
All right.
One.
You got Travis Kelce, number one.
From where?
From Kansas City.
Okay, two.
You got Rob Gronkowski.
Okay.
You got that guy from the 49ers.
Sure.
Barlow. I think that, I forget if that's his actual name. Philip Barlow. And then, okay, who is the fourth? I don't have a fourth.
Daryl Moose Johnston. Is he a tight end?
I've heard of one of those people, and that's because he makes Tide Pod commercials.
Was Aaron Hernandez a tight end?
Yeah. Ooh, yes, yeah, yeah. He was.
He was great. What's wrong?
Some of your best murderers would always go across the middle.
Yeah. They could take the punishment.
That's
exactly it. So, Jeff, you are visiting from Ohio. You did some shows here.
Yeah, podcasts. I just do podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you got to do.
It seems like it's the most beneficial. It's like the most efficient use of your time.
Yeah. And then you don't have to deal with a pesky audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there's an audience, sometimes there isn't, but there's always but there's way more people listening than are in the room.
That's true.
Yeah.
And there's way more people listening than are in the room at any of these stand-up shows in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, listen, I do open mics all around town, and sometimes I do them for, like, downwards of 15 people.
Well, yeah. There were three audience members of the show I went to on Monday.
Yeah. You were one of three audience members.
Where were you on Monday? Where'd you do it?
At Skiptown Playhouse. It's right around the corner. My friend hosts a stand-up show. And there were five stand-ups sitting on the audience that were in the lineup.
Yeah, yes. And the show was good. It was a good show. Good, funny people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a bummer that it was a Monday of the holiday season. You know, this is the toughest time to get butts and seats.
That's about average for that show, actually.
Okay, well, I mean, the hosts protested a lot that there were normally more people there. So I believe them, but it turns out everybody's a liar.
Sometimes a booked stand-up show in LA turns into a quasi open mic.
Nice.
If there's not enough audience.
Yeah.
I've never treated any of them any differently.
Yeah.
If I got a new joke, I'd want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So we were talking a little bit before the podcast. You don't have a strong allegiance to any particular team.
No, I'm sort of new to the NBA.
Oh yeah.
It's not brand new, but it's like,
so it was not a thing when you were a kid. You were.
I mean, I watched it when I was a kid. I remember watching it. I watched it a lot in the 90s when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And then post high school 90s, late 90s, I didn't watch anything.
Yeah.
I think I happened to be watching the game where Mark McGwire hit a 60-second home run.
Ooh.
And it was against the Cubs, and I was a big Cubs fan.
Yeah.
Growing up, but I also didn't even really know that was happening until that night. I was like, "What the fuck? 62? Can you?" I apologize for the language.
No, it's fine. We get
three an episode.
This goes right. This is for the kids section of iTunes.
PG-13.
Yeah. No. It's whatever.
It's gonna be bad when I play this out loud at the kids section of the library when I go volunteer later today. But
yeah, it's weird.
But that's only because it's loud at the library.
Right. It's not because of the fuck.
It's not the language. It's not that I said fuck. It's how loud I said it.
It's also weird that you hold your jam box over your head in a trench coat.
It's weird, but. You know, it's my vibe.
Great would that be if you could redo it and Cusack is playing like a podcast. 99% invisible.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to, I know how much you like infrastructure. Here's 22 minutes about when they switched from the right side to the left side of the road.
He holds this thing up and it's like, you're listening to Radiolab.
That's romance.
Hey, lock the gates.
99% Invisible, a podcast I loved until one day I just couldn't take any more of, but I'm going to dip it back into it. It's a brilliant podcast.
Short.
Yeah. It's just something about his voice is so precious, which at first is very alluring, and then it's like,
and then you don't ever want to hear it again.
He's like, this is Roman.
Yeah, you just need a break. Yeah. You just needed to come in and out of it. Too much of the voice is too much of the precious voice.
So, Jeff, I heard you on Jimmy Pardo's podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple years ago. You were one of the. I wasn't too much paying attention to the Joel Embiid train at that time.
Yeah,
and I remember you being very pro Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I was excited to
because he's funny.
Yeah, he is. I think he's funny for a basketball player, and also just for in general for any sort of like public athlete now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even. I don't even know if I would say he's. He at least he's like has personality,
and he's self aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that winking style of comedy, which is like pretty nice to see in a sport that can sometimes take itself a little too seriously.
He's also a very good player.
Yeah, that too.
That helps too. Yeah,
yeah.
I think he takes it seriously enough, and I think for athletes that take it like there are a lot of athletes have personality, but I think a lot of them like especially basketball players, mostly basketball players. Football players don't. Yeah. Basketball or baseball players don't.
Mm.
Really, baseball players, man. If you hear a baseball player talk, oof,
it's pretty rough.
It's usually bad.
I don't even know if I've have any awareness of baseball players having like public personas generally.
Yeah, they generally don't. Like they're just villains.
Yeah, when you think Big Poppy, do you think actual Big Poppy or do you think his caricature on like comedy?
I don't know. All I know about baseball players is that when you meet them in real life, they're giants. Like even players that look totally average in real life are like 6'4 Vikings.
Yeah, but what about like Jose Altuve? That guy's tiny.
Is he small?
He's 5'6". But like you can't meet him because you can't see him. Yeah, yeah. Over.
Your average like second baseman though in real life is like, oh, that's a fucking jock.
Like 6 feet tall is an average second baseman right now. And then like outfielders, yeah, they're bigger. But baseball is one of the few sports where you can still be a smaller dude and play.
Mm.
I mean, I always thought that would be fun to be like, because baseball, you could be like just a big dumb fatso.
Yeah,
I mean, Babe Ruth was just a big dumb fatso.
Yes,
but he could hit a baseball.
You got your John Crux. Yeah, one of my favorite players.
There's this guy who played for the Twins this season. He was a prospect who came up. His name was Williams Astudio.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this guy is an absolute unit. There's this play where he like goes from first to home on a single or some shit. It is wild. He's just chugging along, out of breath the entire time. Like nothing more fun than like a big dude playing baseball, like Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
Like oh man, what a fantastic. Wonderful piece of human ability.
Oh,
like
it's just started to rain. Yeah,
it's the rain day. It's going to rain for the rest of the day. Who's excited?
You don't get a lot of. We've previously mentioned. Don't get a lot of big guys in basketball.
No, I mean you got a like a real solid dude coming up in the draft this year, Zion Williamson.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, but he doesn't look. He still looks like. I mean, he's in pretty good shape.
Yes,
and he'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just solid. He's just a solid dude. But yeah. Like big dudes, you get ripped. Like, Big Baby. He's like a big dude.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, like I don't know. Is
and
is,
also a baby.
Yeah, that's the tough part. Is like is
yeah. We have previously talked on this podcast that like I as a gay man, I like bigger dudes, and my favorite sport is the one that has the least eye candy for me. And
just all these skinny sticks.
But I will say there's potential with Luka Doncic.
Ooh. Yeah.
Cuz he's kind of got a baby face and he's already kind of like lazy old man game.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, did you see that step back three from last night?
I did.
Oh my God, yeah. It was nuts.
I did watch the Jokic like hook pass, the hook pass that he did.
It was wild, right?
Crazy from the top right, like the right
to Jamal Murray in the corner.
Yeah. Oh man, that was dope.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, and he made that shot. He made.
Yeah, you got to make that.
You got to make the shot.
Shot that when Kawhi took, like, fouled him. Yeah, that was crazy. I'm not totally clear why that didn't count.
I think it was. I think they called it on the floor.
I just feel like there's so many situations where if Harden does that or like. They're just like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, I guess, the 14 finals when the Spurs beat the Heat. There was a play where Manu Ginobili shot at three quarters of the court. But because the guy that was guarding him fouled him and he knew he could get continuation, so he got three shots.
Yeah,
and that was like, that's one of those like, well, you're following the letter of the rule in that situation. And so to eliminate those kind of plays, you eliminate all continuation kind of plays, like on the floor or not. And it's the Jokic shot was not the same as the Manu shot. Right. Like that's.
He should have had that one.
The Manu shot is called gamesmanship. He was never going to make that shot. Right, right. He was never going to take that shot. He just did it because he knew he could get
the
shot.
And the Jokic one was like, he did take it, and he made it. Yeah. So, like, you can't say he took a shot that had no chance of going in.
Yeah.
Right.
But, eventually, we're going to have a good old, old man team when Jokic and Doncic, like, all age. There's going to be some, like, amazing team.
You get both Bogdanoviches on the team, and so nobody knows which Bogdanovich they're talking about. Is it Bogdan or is it Bogon?
We get five white players. Utah will love them.
Okay.
The Utah signs all of them.
Utah versus Boston.
I have just, you know,
NBA finals.
I know that NBA organizations just want to get the best players possible, but it is kind of funny how, like, teams like Utah and Boston
have a lot of white players on them.
love those just, big old white guys.
Just coincidentally, their scouting reports, like, they like white guys.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I mean, you know what other team has a lot of white guys? South Bay Lakers.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The G League South Bay Lakers. You know, you want to get...
Is Svi on the team?
Svi's on the team down there. I mean, well, yeah, he's a rookie on a contract that you can send down to the G League. All but, right. Like, they're playing him a ton. They play Travis Ware. I don't know if you guys are familiar. UCLA product.
6'10". Is that W-E-A-R?
W-E-A-R.
Yeah, I don't know why I know that.
He had a couple of games with the Lakers big league team this year. He was on a two-way contract at the beginning of the season. But it's just like, it's so funny how the G League is populated with like just a bunch of like white dudes who can score.
Mm. Can you shoot?
You talk about like the San Antonio Spurs team, the Austin Toros.
Yeah.
They have Jeff Ledbetter looks like he is always surfing. And he's just like a dude who's like, I am surfing right now. And he's like, he looks like he's surfing when he's dribbling and he's like passing the ball.
Well, that guy sounds cool.
He is cool. That's a summer league like king right there.
I'm bummed out that the G League team should be in different places.
Right from the home team, you mean?
They shouldn't be where the home team is. Like, I shouldn't not have an NBA team or a G League team. I would see the G League all the time if I had a G League team.
Yeah, yeah, the Cleveland one's in Canton.
Right. Which might as well be Cleveland.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, because the Bulls are in Chicago as well, like the Windy City Bulls.
Clippers are at the Agua Caliente Casino. They're at the
Agua Caliente Casino.
Yeah. I was in Palm Springs recently, in case you're trying to get me to, like, see them.
You should have gone and go see a game on a Friday.
Well, who's on the Clippers G League team?
Well, wait, somebody just had a huge game for them the other day. Anthony Bennett.
Anthony scored Bennett?
Like 31 points.
Wow. In the G League?
Yeah, at the Agua Caliente Casino.
That's amazing. My God.
Yeah.
That's
put all your money on Anthony Bennett. All right, that's what I'm saying. In the G League, back in. Just the
you think he'll get it?
Casino.
No, but I feel good for him that he had a good game.
Yeah, that is good. I mean, it's nice that he did. I feel bad for him.
Any
yeah.
game, any level where you score 30 points, it has to be a good day for you.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. I mean, if we went out and scored 31 points on, like. First of all, I don't think I could score 31 points on elementary school basketball players.
Yeah, and like, what game are we playing to that goes to 31? You know, like,
or that has enough time in it.
Yeah,
we're playing a regulation game against elementary school students.
Okay, yeah. Well then,
I don't know. What are you guys talking about? I could score 31 against elementary school students.
I could too. I mean, we're all men of being able to back down a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but that's not my game, man. I'm perimeter.
Feed me, man.
No,
feed
no.
Me in the post.
My issue is like,
if you're like when Dwight wants to shoot threes.
Like, no, I'm more like when Andrew Bynum wants to shoot threes.
Oh yeah. Okay, all right.
Immediately get pulled from the game. Jeff, how are you feeling about this season so far?
It's been very exciting. It feels a little more up for grabs than usual. It feels like the 3-point revolution has found its like weak spot, which is if you don't make them, like,
right?
You just lose. Like the Rockets have a lot of the same people, but like people always talk like, oh, Trevor Ariza held it together this much. Like Trevor Ariza is why you guys won 65 fucking games last year, and now you're under 500. Like that's insane.
Yeah. And if he did that, you weren't able to like identify that and keep him.
Yeah, you should have signed him. You signed Chris Paul, and he's apparently not the one who was doing it.
And right. Yeah, Ariza was not keeping that team together. Ariza was a good right. piece
we
on
We all
that
know
team.
That Mba Amute was keeping that
it
team together.
It was Luke Richard Mba Amute, the Prince of Cameroon.
Mba Amute will get in the Hall of Fame because he got Joel Embiid to play basketball.
Yes. Oh, did he?
That's where he was. They got Joel's family got him to do like a basketball camp, Mba Amute's camp in Cameroon.
Oh, yep. That's cool.
Like, I don't know if you know this, but it was only like 7 years ago.
Yes, I did know that he like recently.
That's one of the.
Is this also sort of recently when you came to your NBA, like found the NBA?
You and Embiid went to the same camp in Cameroon.
The NBA actually started for me when I first started working the road. It was always on Thursday night. Like when I would, Thursday night was usually when the week would start. Right. And I would get back from the show. Nothing to do, and there's always a basketball game on.
Yep.
And then the first game would be replayed after a couple of sports centers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would watch these games, but I wasn't a huge fan. I was just watching them because they were on. There wasn't like Netflix or whatever. Better that than phones. Diners, Diners.
Yeah. It, like when I get second hotel. That show might
not have even been on yet.
But you're also getting a lot of inside the NBA, right? With Kenny and Charles and Shaq or not?
Yeah. I was watching that when that would be on. Well, because that was, Thursday night was Thursdays. The TNT night. Yep. So I was watching that. Kenny and Charles were good. Shaq wasn't on it yet. Shaq was still playing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Kenny, Charles, Ernie, I should say.
Yeah. Shaq I actually like more now after Uncle Drew than I've ever had him in my life.
Casey is also a huge Uncle Drew fan.
Ah, man, I got so stoned and saw Uncle Drew, and every joke was so funny when I was incredibly, incredibly stoned.
Every joke is pretty good when you're not.
I gotta watch it not stoned.
You know what?
I mean, you don't have to watch it not stoned. I'm just saying that if you don't want to smoke weed, you could still watch Uncle Drew. It's pretty funny, and it's a it's a classic sports movie story.
Hmm.
But Nate Robinson is in it.
Yeah.
And I like some Nate Robinson. I like Nate Robinson. Always fun.
Who was your favorite player, actor in Uncle Drew?
Probably Nate Robinson.
Yeah. I went for Chris Webber. Yeah. I thought Chris Webber was my favorite because he showed a little bit of range. I thought Reggie Miller was just, the worst.
Acting range.
Yeah.
There wasn't like a scene where he just slowly backed up shooting 3-pointers.
Chris Webber's got an outside shot. It's the one thing he lacked. He would have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Is he not a Hall of Famer?
Not yet.
No.
That'll be interesting.
He's played. Like, he's got too many shirts and not enough rings.
Well, and also you can't count Michigan.
Right.
Theoretically. Like, I wonder. I mean, people probably will.
I mean, I think that based on the entire breadth of his career, like, he's a fringe candidate. Like, he should, like, be...
I think the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is enough to overhaul the Hall of Fame. We should know who the fuck is not voting for him. We should know who is voting for who they are voting for. It should be a slightly more transparent process.
Oh, for sure.
Because if you're keeping Chris Webber out of the Hall of Fame, then you're not a real Hall of Fame. Chris Webber's a Hall of Famer. He was awesome.
Yeah.
And the worst thing he ever did was call a timeout in a game when they didn't have any. However, if for some reason, no one knew until that 30 for 30 came out that they didn't have the other angles of pictures showing the entire bench yelling at him to call that timeout.
Yeah.
He's the Steve Barbin of that scenario. Steve Barbin wasn't the only guy reaching for that fucking baseball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chris Webber was told by 11 other people to call a timeout, and he did, and he's the one that has to carry that.
Yeah.
And the first time he ever mentioned it was in Uncle Drew.
Oh.
There's a joke about how many timeouts are left in Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
And it is the first acknowledgement that involved him.
Because he's a classy dude. He doesn't talk about it. He doesn't complain about it. People shit on him for it, and he takes it. He's a good dude. I like Chris Webber.
Like, the real strike against him is he played for too many teams. If he just had one jersey, he would be in the Hall of Fame for sure.
Well, also, the thing is like, I don't know how they instruct the voters when they're dealing with, the Michigan championships.
Nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody knows how the NBA Hall of Fame voters work. Yeah. They don't know who votes. They don't know when they vote. They don't know how they vote. They don't know what the criteria is. It is the most opaque.
Yeah. Also, it's not the NBA, it's just the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? It's college, it's international, it's men's, it's women's, it's everything. And there's like a max number of people who can get in every year, and it's, it's too exclusionary for the amount of amazing players that have played in the NBA.
Hmm.
You're right about Chris Webber. He should be in. I feel like there's enough debate on just the amount of people who are in it right now.
Is Grant Hill in?
Yeah, yes. I think he just went
he
in.
Just went out.
Yeah. They should show the 2002 Game 6 Western Conference Finals to the voters and be like, here's why you're not voting for him, because he got fucking screwed by the refs. Otherwise, they would have won the championship that year. The Kings would have a chance. The entire trajectory of the Sacramento Kings franchise would be altered because now they would have a championship.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be a perpetual, because the closest they ever got was Game 6 of 2002 when they had to play the Lakers and the refs.
We're both Lakers fans, but that's fine.
You know, 9-5, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair for Lakers. Right? Yeah. But to counterpoint, they wouldn't then have Willie Cauley-Stein on their team now. So, I mean, timelines,
Well, to counterpoint your counterpoint. maybe Willie Cauley-Stein is not even born.
Yeah, that's
I don't know how old he is.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not into basketball because he liked. Maybe he liked the Lakers so much that he just wouldn't have played basketball. Yeah,
that's very possible. And he might have discovered a cure for some disease by now.
I wonder how many people
The refs of that game are why we still have cancer. Did you guys know that the 2002 Game 6 Western Conference Final refs are why there's still cancer?
Yeah, well, we proved it on this podcast.
The important thing is that, you know, we have room to grow.
Instead of Willie Cauley Stein, he could have been Willie Cancer Scientist.
Yep. Cancer Scientist. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Same. He wouldn't have had to change any monograms on his tuxedos.
His jersey, if he got a
all cancer, personalized jersey, cancer scientists often get jerseys.
You get a white coat. You get a white coat with your name on it. Yeah. So
the tearaway scrubs. Yes. He's got. I mean, the Kings are good this year. I've they watched are. A lot of.
Kings they're games. Fun and good.
They are fun. They are good, and it's fun to have a good Kings team.
They are entertaining.
Yeah. We also talked. We like this Western Conference season is so jam packed. From 1 to 14, I was thinking last night about how the Kings are good, and I looked up like where are they in the standings. They're 11-11 and they're ninth. Like they're good this year, and they're still out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they won. Yeah. They won.
So
last
many good
night.
Western Conference teams.
They won last night, right? They won against the Suns. They blew them up by 20 points.
Oh
or
man, they were up by like 40 in the first half.
Mm.
Yeah, they outscored them like 41-9.
De'Aaron Fox did a sham god last night. So I was watching that a bunch, and then I got sucked into a YouTube hole of different sham gods.
Different sham gods. Didn't Westbrook do one this year and then demonstrated it again?
And didn't somebody try to do one and get injured while doing it?
Is that true?
Yeah. It was
Caspi?
Caspi, Amir Caspi.
He got injured.
He hurt himself a little bit. Tweaked himself somehow doing it. Successfully pulled off the move, but then missed the next 5 games.
I say worth it. Worth it. Definitely worth it.
I mean, when you think about Caspi, what else are you going to think about besides the time he attempted a sham god and then missed 5 games? That's
getting cut from the Warriors in the middle of a championship season, so he didn't get his ring, but he did get his ring, but he didn't earn it.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, that's what happened last season. Caspi. They cut him for Quinn Cook because Curry got injured, and he like signed with them because he wanted to help win a championship, and then they let him go. I mean, they gave him a ring, but he wasn't on the team.
He wasn't. I mean, even if he was on the team, he wasn't helping him win that championship.
I mean, he wasn't like Trevor Ariza holding the Rockets.
Yeah. I mean, as you can see, I mean, maybe he was. The Warriors do seem a little fallible.
Yeah.
It's just another. It's another bunch of babies. Like it's just should. It should just end. Like clearly, he should go somewhere else. KD should go somewhere else, and they should just. And then they could all be happy again.
Where do you want to see KD?
I don't care.
Anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean,
anywhere that's not Golden State.
The more I watch basketball, the more I understand what people mean when they go, it's better when the Knicks are good, because I bet it would be better if the Knicks were good.
Yeah.
So go to the Knicks. Like, what's the big deal of, like, the fact that you have two teams in New York and, I heard this somewhere, but, like, think about how good the NBA is doing, and both teams in New York are garbage. The Bulls are garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Houston has fallen apart and also hasn't been fun even when they were good last year. They weren't fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Phoenix is like the fifth biggest city in America, and their team's been terrible forever.
Long time.
And they're still like, the most thriving league. Like, it's growing, and there's not a lot of, there's nothing baked into it that's gross.
Yeah,
like baseball has boredom. Boredom is baked into baseball. There's no.
And they're adding more boredom to it by the year.
Yeah,
it seems like the games are just getting longer.
It when you combine that with how much more exciting basketball gets, it's the chasm between the two. Baseball seems so fucking boring now.
Yeah.
Basketball doesn't have like head injuries or boredom or.
Mm-hmm. Also, in football, it's no matter how much you like it, it's. Having the helmets on makes it harder to connect to individual players and moments. So, like basketball is also just perfect for television. The size of the on the camera, it's just like perfect for your screen.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You don't have to you get all of the action without any movement.
Oh, that's true. I never really considered that part of it, but half court is the size they can angle the camera so that it. Nicely fills up your
fits
TV
in there.
Yeah,
you know, I remember being very disoriented when they added that wire camera.
Yeah,
this is 90s or something, where they added a camera that would scroll along with Scottie Pippen as he drew, and I was just oh, this is disorienting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're watching them play Contra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you think about football, you don't get to see the full game ever on TV, right? No. Like, they don't play from an angle where you get to see everything that happens on the field. You just get to see what happens, you know, 7 yards behind and 7 yards in front of mm-hmm. the line of scrimmage. And there's just so much more to the game. With basketball, you see it all. It's great. Yeah. It's perfect.
It is fun, actually, in basketball, when you if you decide to, like, somebody like Rip Hamilton or, ooh, like, yeah. Klay Thompson, if you're like, I'm just going to watch them run around,
yeah,
it can actually be really fun to watch, like, as opposed to, like, following the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I may complain about watching NASCAR and seeing the cars go in circles, but if I just watch Klay Thompson run in circles for a whole possession, I am so happy.
Yeah, it's very fun.
But he's, I mean, he's not going to do that for 500 miles.
No, that's
he's going to eventually do something other than run around in a circle.
Yeah. I mean, if he only made left turns for 500 miles.
I mean. Yeah, I mean, the offense would probably still have the same space. I mean, he's a threat from anywhere 500 miles.
500 in. Yeah. That's what he's got. He's got 500 out range. That's right.
They do that motion tracking now where they can tell you, like, how many miles a player has
yeah.
run. What was the stat from last year where it was like LeBron had
the least amount of...
He ran the least.
He ran the least in the league. Like, of the players who, like, were playing, his percentage of time spent running was the least amount of any player. He, yeah. like,
wow, that's how he was able to pull off playing the most minutes of his entire career
that
last year.
That was, like, yeah. the energy conservation theory of LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you read that whole that Wayne Horse thing was about it, like, how that he would take his rest he was, like, during the game?
On yeah. The court. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah. I often noticed that he rested on defense.
That's that's the spot to rest if you're a guy who shows it up on offense.
Well, it makes sense because when you score 2 points on offense, that's not the same as giving up 2 points on defense.
No, it's not. It's different. It's better to score than it is to, yeah. to. Who cares if you give up points? That happens. See, everybody scores, but if yeah. you score, that's great.
Well, he's going the but he's going to score.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And the guy that he's guarding is you know it's might. It's not he might score.
Yeah. That works until the playoffs, and yeah. then like the guys you're playing are going. Wait, KD is going to score
yeah.
as well.
The real downside of that is he turns it on in the playoffs, but he doesn't. But because he was coasting in the regular season, everybody, like these other players are doing what he does, and these other players are not as, they're not.
Yeah.
Any, they're not even in the same, like it might as well be a different game.
Yeah. I also think he, the, there's something going on with team defense in the league where like, him turning it on individually in the playoffs, which he also didn't do against the Pacers in a couple of key spots.
Well, yeah, why do it in the first round when you could do it in the second round?
Right, right. But also there's certain, I feel like, team defense rhythms that are disrupted if you're not getting a team philosophy about, like, defense yeah. and helping and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're I mean, you're yeah. absolutely right about that. They don't. They need those good habits. Like,
speaking of defense, actually, I have complained this year about the Lakers' defense, which has been very poor compared to last year's. But recently, we mentioned that it's gotten a lot better, and it turns out it's mostly probably because of Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler coming yeah. in and anchoring that defense.
They're the number two defensive rated team since he joined.
Since he joined.
Really?
Yeah.
They went from low 20s to number two. Yeah, I mean,
they were
two.
Not good. Last year, they were around 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, these young guys are like buying into defense. And then like,
yeah, it's because Brook Lopez was shutting everybody down in the 15 minutes he played per
by
game.
By the way, I know for a fact that in when we talk about defense, there's tons of stuff that we have no idea what's going on. We have no way to track. Eye test doesn't work. Like, there has to be something going on in defense because every time you try to, like, make definitive statements about who's good, it's like if you make a stat that's like, this is how I'm going to figure out who's good, it always brings up insane, like, that guy's not good at defense. Yeah. That can't be right.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
there's, I mean, there's something where it's very hard to separate those numbers from your team to the person. And, yeah. like, they try to do it. Like, that's the entire goal of defensive efficiency stats. And it's not there yet. And, you know, maybe it will never be there.
I mean, either it's not there yet, or I have to accept that Nikola Jokic is the fourth best defensive player in the league, according to ESPN's defensive real plus minus.
He's set. Not. He's not. Everybody agrees. Every single person who watches that guy agrees that he's a garbage defender.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the awareness or the desire to be a good defender. But yet the Nuggets, the rest of the team, are really good at defense, which props his ability.
Well, how much are his numbers affected probably on the plus side by the fact that half his games are played in Denver?
Oh,
yeah. Probably
right? So a lot. The teams he's playing, when he's playing a home game, the guy he's playing, the biggest, sucking the guy wind. He's guarding is the biggest guy on the other team.
That's
who
true.
Can't breathe.
You done road shows in Denver?
Yeah.
Do you feel it?
Not, I'm never there long enough. It usually takes an extra week.
Okay.
Like, it's the first week is fine, and it's usually the second week that I start to get, where you get like altitude sickness or whatever.
Uh huh. Yeah. I did a play in Aspen, I think.
Woo!
And they had oxygen tanks for us at intermission, and I needed it.
Yeah. How long did you do the play?
Only like 3 days.
Well, Aspen is much higher than Denver.
Okay.
I lived in Snowmass for a little while, which is near Aspen. It's part of the, I worked for Aspen Ski Company.
Sweet.
And it was, man, it only took a couple of days to
feel it.
Yeah. But you were also like performing, so.
Yes, and I had a particularly strenuous like song that I was singing in the middle of it.
Yeah, there you go.
And then
what was the song?
It was in this musical that was a parody of 50 Shades.
Oh.
I was playing Christian Grey.
Ooh.
Oh. Lots of disappointed.
Christian Grey's.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of disappointed ladies in that show.
Well, they shouldn't have been. They were going to see a play.
Well,
they should have known it wasn't going to be the guy, the real guy.
Actually, it was specifically called 50 Shades, the musical parody, and they still thought they were going to see a hot dude play Christian Grey.
Well, what's parody about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm just as hot as the guy in the book. But yeah, so like they, at intermission, I literally came off the stage and like someone put a mask on me and I was breathing.
And you felt better.
I did feel better. And all the stores in Aspen, like 7-Eleven and stuff, would sell like little mini oxygen like inhaler things for you. I mean, I'm sure they were just marketing and like,
no, I mean, making some money. Why not?
A lot of old people in Aspen that didn't feel, they loved it up there.
Yeah.
Well, once you're there once you get acclimated, you're fine. There's enough to live. It's just less than what you're used to.
Yeah. They were like a very non-responsive crowd and like no reaction whatsoever. And then at the end, the crew guy said they loved it. That was one of their favorite shows that they've ever seen here.
That's so funny.
Well, that's how they're fine there.
Yeah.
They just go, that's good.
Yeah.
I would cheer for you, but there's no oxygen.
They just like inform the stage manager to tell the cast
write it
that,
down.
That
it good was job.
No, there's like a range of reactions, right? And yours was at the high end. The bottom end, I don't know what the bottom end of reactions for a bad play in Aspen is. Do they just throw stuff at you?
Well, no, I bet with, you know.
I probably just choke to death.
Or sleep. Sleep.
Yeah.
Just take a nap.
Yeah.
Sleep the long sleep.
I mean,
the big sleep. Yeah. Take a.
Just, they probably lose a couple. Actually, if you're a theater manager in.
People
certain,
fall asleep.
No. In certain communities in the U.S., if you're a theater manager, you probably have dealt with like a corpse.
Oh,
at
yeah.
At some point.
Oh, for sure.
I was just telling Chris, when I lived in San Diego, they had an initiative to get younger people to come to the La Jolla Playhouse where they would give you very discounted tickets to come if you were under 30, which isn't even like that young. But I was always, not always, but often like the youngest person at some of the plays I'd go see. Because like, and these people were old, like, had to get help up the stairs to sit in their seats that were like two stairs up. It's like theater in San Diego was not for young people.
Yes. I have seen a couple of plays at La Jolla and it's a very, it's a different world over there.
Yeah.
And I have also thought because La Jolla is like a breeding ground for like new work.
Yep.
La Jolla and Old Globe, that their audiences have to be affecting the kind of theater that eventually ends up in Broadway.
That's so funny.
Because it's like you, if you're writing a comedy and you do it at La Jolla, like you're going to change the, if you're workshopping it, you're going to be influenced by that.
Yeah.
That demographic. Totally related to that. Jeff, have you seen the Sixers City Edition jerseys?
Yeah.
I think I just read that that's the best selling one.
Yeah.
Really? The Rocky one? Well, I mean,
it doesn't
hurt that they came out at the same time as Creed 2. Yeah.
That's some real like cross promotional Nike shit right there. Like they did it.
I'm still wanting to get the Minnesota one.
The Minnesota one is so cool.
The Prince one, it's so good.
And now that I can get one with Saric, who could be on your team
you
with Jokic. And
okay,
is that the guy? Because we've been
so
debating.
Recently. I've been saying I want to get the Minnesota one, but I don't really care for any of the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So, because I didn't want to get like a Wiggins one.
Right.
But maybe I'll get a Saric one.
Saric or Covington, man.
Covington's playing great, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the Wolves have, it's been a win-win trade, which rarely ever happens.
Yeah. Covington is killing it on defense.
I mean, it seems like a win-win because Butler hit two game winners already in Philly, but
that's both wins.
I think Philadelphia would be, I mean, they're both like 5-2 or whatever since the trade. But I miss Saric and Covington.
Well, my thought, have you watched a lot of Sixers games this year? Okay, so I haven't really, but when the trade happened, I thought, like, is this a problem? You're getting rid of two of your shooters.
Yeah, two of your starters.
yeah.
Like, and you're adding a guy that shoots worse from 3-point. Like, they don't have a ton of spacing to begin with.
Right. They do. They definitely have problems with their spacing.
Yeah.
They had massive problems at the beginning when they were trying to start Fultz.
Oof.
Yes.
But now he got diagnosed yesterday with something. He did.
Yeah, let's talk a thoracic outlet syndrome.
Is that?
I mean, it's some kind of nerve damage.
The word is outlet?
Thoracic outlet syndrome is what he got. TOS, Star Trek, the original series. They're not a TNG family over there in Philadelphia. It seems to me like this kind of like diagnosable nerve pain, right? That stuff, that's the kind of stuff that just fucks with people like beyond like just basketball. Like this fucks with him in a way that like really has wrecked his career so far.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably spent the whole last year trying to convince people he was in pain.
Yeah.
And they were like, you take the MRIs and X-rays and stuff, you don't see that.
Fine.
Right.
Nerve pain is so hard for people to diagnose correctly.
And I wonder how much, even though, like, the NBA probably doesn't have it to the degree that the NFL does, but I wonder how much there is, like, a macho culture of just, like, here's being a baby. Like,
That's not NBA stuff. That's human stuff.
Yeah.
Right? People don't trust people who have undiagnosed and hard-to-diagnose nerve pain. Because you look at somebody and they say they're in pain, and they don't look like they're in pain.
Yeah.
And they're just like not performing well. It's very hard for people to see that. And like I've known, the reason I'm like going off on this is I've known people who've had like nerve problems, and I've had to like fight that in my own head. Like they're in pain, they're hurt, they're telling you they're hurt. You just can't prove it. It's like something you can't tell. It's just like you got to respect it. You got to like trust that they're telling you the truth there.
Huh. Yeah, and then also when you know people who have like chronic conditions,
yeah,
you also know that sometimes they do milk it.
Yeah,
that's the other problem.
That's the tough. Yes, and like is Markelle Fultz milking it to try to like what?
No,
is his
I don't
possible,
think he is. No,
I don't think
he
is either.
I think he's just like he's not naturally a person that wants to like come tell the public what's going on, and then if there's a blank spot and we don't have any info, people just start putting in like all their theories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do with him?
I think they're going to do whatever. I mean, now that there's a diagnosis, the prognosis on that I read on NBA.com was 3 to 6 weeks, maybe he's going to be out.
And it's like physical therapy, I think.
Yeah, and then maybe it'll come back. And I mean, he's got every reason in the world to want to be good. And what if they fix it? Like, what if he fixes it and he actually lives up to even a lottery pick?
Yeah.
Like if he could be as good as fucking Chris Dunn,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, like I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd make their team better.
I mean, if he could be as good as, let's say, an Anthony Bennett scoring 31 points at Agua Caliente Casino.
Yeah.
They'd be happy with that.
I mean, if he could be as good as anybody in the G League, if he could be as good as the best player on the best night he's ever had in the G League, then he could be a rotation player in the NBA.
And he might be like shaping up, recovering just in time for the Sixers to like it'd be a great time for another scorer to show up on this team.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the team though, and the city, the Rocky jerseys are so cool.
Yeah,
the so Nuggets good. Ones are fucking dope.
Love those Nuggets ones.
I haven't seen the Nuggets.
They're the city, but with a rainbow tint from bottom to top.
Oh, like old school Nuggets.
A little, yeah. Mutombo, like a little of the Mutombo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Like the rainbow skyline with the mountains behind it.
But it almost like feels digital, like the digital skyline.
Is it like pixely?
It's like a little pixely.
Okay. I didn't see it that much. I just saw a little picture on my phone.
It's cool looking. It's really cool looking.
Do you think the Sixers are playing like better or worse than you expected? And how do you feel about Butler generally?
Generally, I was. I mean, when he was, I didn't want the Sixers to trade for him, and I didn't want. I liked him until all this stuff this year.
That's what I felt like. Yeah. Actually, last year, I was like, "Man, Jimmy Butler's great. He's so funny. He's so, like, yeah. he's a great player, but he was also like doing hilarious takes to the camera." And then, somehow in that whole drama, I was like, "I don't like him anymore."
He takes. I think a lot of like, I have this idea that Dwight Howard is the only person to take basketball as seriously as it should be taken.
Ooh.
And that bothers a lot of people.
Interesting.
Whoa, what a take.
Because it's just sports. It's just a game. It's just basketball game. You just go play basketball. I mean, he's usually in shape.
Yeah.
He's had back problems. Yeah. He's still pretty good. What was he last year? He still did like 16 to 12 last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not... People have put these expectations on him forever, but like, how is Dwight Howard going to be a defensive player of the year now? Like, is it even the way basketball is played? It isn't even really possible. So stop holding him to those standards.
Yeah.
Like, if every team played like it was 2009, Dwight Howard would probably be better.
Right.
Because he was fucking great in 2009.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I just don't think he gives a fuck about the NBA as much as everybody else does. And I think Jimmy Butler does too much now.
Yeah.
So, because it always has felt to me.
By the way, this might be the first pro Dwight Howard take.
I mean, I don't even know if this is a pro Dwight Howard take. I think this is a take about what you feel Dwight Howard is doing. I don't know if this is pro or con Dwight Howard.
I think it's pro Dwight Howard, the person. I can see how, when I look at it, whenever anybody starts tearing them apart or talking about basketball players in general.
Yeah.
Dwight seems like one you could hang out with, and Jimmy Butler does not. Like, does that mean that I want Jimmy Butler on my team instead of Dwight Howard? Maybe it does.
Yeah.
But does that mean I think Dwight Howard's a fucking clown? No. I think he's good at basketball, but also knows it's just basketball.
Yeah, I think that I was going to say people might want to hang out more with Dwight Howard as being like other basketball, because Jimmy Butler seems like might be a dick to be like on the team with.
Yeah.
But there's also the evidence that like lots of teams had not liked having Dwight Howard on their team.
I think that it's because every one of those teams has somebody like Jimmy Butler who was the first one? Because he fell out in Orlando, but he fell out with Stan Van Gundy. Like, that was after years and years
of... hard-nosed dude on the team.
Yeah, that was years and years of not... Like, he was on the Magic for, like, 8 years or whatever, 7 years.
Right. And he led them to their greatest success since Shaq.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have Kobe.
He also lost the finals in Orlando, same as Shaq.
Yeah.
Then he went to L.A. where he played with Kobe, a guy who takes basketball more seriously than... Kobe takes everything more seriously than it should be taken.
Yeah.
And he's a rapist.
Yeah.
Alleged.
Listen, he takes the creation of animated short films. You know what's hilarious?
He takes the creation of Gatorade sports drinks that are named after suits of armor from the medieval times.
Another fun thing is listen to Kobe talk about the creation of his children's story podcast and how seriously he takes that.
Yeah, he takes everything too seriously. Yeah, Kobe has a bad perspective.
Yeah.
Is it good for the Lakers? Probably. They won 5 championships with him.
Yeah.
But is it bad for Dwight Howard? Absolutely, it's bad for Dwight Howard. Then he goes to, where does he go after that? Houston?
Goes to Houston.
Like, they're trying to win a championship in Houston. They've got these, they don't need somebody being like, you guys know it's a game, right? In their locker room. They go to Atlanta, everybody's young, they suck. Oh, you don't go to Charlotte. And now, like, he's in Washington now, yeah?
Yes, he's in Washington right now. He's got a butt injury. He just had butt surgery. Back butt, you know, that area.
I don't know who was hard nosed at the Hawks though.
I don't think it was that way. I think it was the other way. I think it was like, I think that by the time he got to the Hawks, everybody was young, and so the front office didn't like it, and they should have known better than to draft somebody. Like, Dwight Howard seems like a guy who shows up on time and leaves when it's over. And nobody ever talks about those guys. They talk about, oh, this guy showed up at 6 a.m. the day. Like, yeah. Everybody talks about Victor. Victor Oladipo went to the practice facility the day after they lost to the Cavs. And,
like, texted his trainer.
Yeah, and they're like, you know. But you're... the season's over. He's like, oh, we'll get ready for next year. That's great for the basketball team in general, I guess, if you're a fan of the Pacers, but come on, that's fucking stupid. Take one day off.
Take a day off. But Dwight...
Well, in late. Go in at noon.
I think this might be reflective of, like, that you don't have a hardcore team that you're, like, into. Because I feel that like if
might
you did,
be, that might be reflective.
You
but
might be like... I want a guy who shows up. I will also say at the Lakers, Steve Nash also did not like Dwight Howard. And he's not a, like, super... He's not a... Doesn't seem like an
but
asshole.
But the reason why Steve Nash and Kobe didn't like Dwight Howard is because he... Like, well, they thought he didn't take the game seriously. So it's the same thing with Steve Nash and Kobe.
Like, I mean, Steve Nash specifically said, like, he doesn't want to run pick and roll with me. I'm one of the greatest pick and roll point guards. And Dwight Howard's pick and roll... like, it's his strength, and he doesn't want to do it with me. Like, that bums me out.
The other thing about Dwight...
Yeah, that's bad. That's an actual basketball, like, mark against Dwight.
Yeah.
But not enough for this reputation of him being a...
But he wants people to take him seriously. He has wanted that his entire career, right? If you're saying that he doesn't... Like, that's been his entire thing, is that he wants people to think that he's the best player. Right, he wants people to think that he's that guy who puts in the work. He wants people to think that. And if you perceive him as this guy who is like, you know, it doesn't matter as much to him. That's never what he's like expressed so publicly, that he like wants to be a winner. He wants to be a champion. He wants to be the best player.
He's not a Klay Thompson.
No, he's not like that. He doesn't. His expectations that he puts out into the world are so corny and wrong with the way he presents himself. I don't know.
I think that's encapsulated by that one Stan Van Gundy like interview. Where
a lot.
He was like, "I don't have a problem with Coach." Or Stan Van Gundy was like, "I know he asked me for me to get fired," and then he walks. Like the contrast between that was so hilarious.
Because my problem has never been with Dwight Howard the player, because I think he's an amazing player, and I think we've talked about this before. Is that I do think that he's a Hall of Fame player, Dwight Howard. I've said that. Like it pains me to say that because I think he's such a corny and weird dude. About the way that he...
What if we eventually find out that the Hall of Fame voters are like Dwight Howard? And, I mean, it might as well be. It's so opaque.
We'll find out. We'll find out if Dwight Howard makes it.
If it's Dwight Howard, Stan Van Gundy, World Be Free, Mitch Wiggins.
Yes.
Mitch Wiggins. We'll find that. Like, if Mitch Wiggins is a voter, then Andrew Wiggins is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew Wiggins gets in first time around. Yeah,
but man. You guys are Lakers fans.
Yeah.
Who won championships because of a guy who took it way too seriously.
Yes. Way too seriously.
And so winning a championship, see, I've only ever one time in 2016 did a team, the Cubs won the World Series, and it's baseball. So you never know. You don't know anything about those people.
Right.
So they probably all, like, some of them take it seriously, some of them don't. I mean, I think baseball lends itself to not having to take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Because you only have to do stuff occasionally.
Yep.
Under the worst case scenario, it's still just occasionally.
Also, it'll be interesting, like, if the Sixers sort of put it together and make a run. You know, they do have Jimmy Butler, who also is in that school of taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
But they also have Joel, who feels like doesn't take it super... He takes the game seriously, but, like... Do you see him in that same, like, I see Joel seeing basketball as, like, eventually Joel's just going to be a personality.
I think he learned from the mistakes Dwight Howard made.
Yeah.
I think he knows that to be good, like, to be great, you have to do all that training. But I think he knows that in the grand scheme of things, that, like, it's just something he wants to do. It's not something that actually matters.
Yeah.
Like, because basketball is supposed to be fun, and he has a lot of fun, and he's actually said out loud that he knows it's not going to be long before everybody hates him.
Yeah.
Like, the whole trolling and all the post-game stuff and the online stuff. Like, I mean, we live online now, and he's the most online athlete.
Yeah.
And he's great at it. He's, like, really good at it, and the fact that he's captured, like, nuance and subtlety for you know, it's the story. Like every NBA, like the Sixers are going to be on ESPN tonight. And I guarantee you that they're, it'll be probably before the end of the first quarter before one of those guys mentions that he didn't even speak English 8 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Because they always, like, that's the thing they say about Joel Embiid. Everybody knows the thing about somebody, you know, who was the guy that ate candy?
Lamar?
Lamar Odom.
Yeah,
Lamar
yeah, Odom.
Like, everybody talks about
Lamar. Skittles.
Yeah, he ate candy and then
Caron some Butler other stuff chews happened. Straws.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one time, the reason Caron Butler follows me on Instagram is because I posted a picture of me chewing a straw and tagged him.
who's the one that chews his fingernails on the...
LeBron?
Or like, pulls fingernails out on the bench?
I don't know.
Somebody does that.
That's wild.
Is it Kevin Love? I mean, when you talk about the nerve damage and not being able to scan things, the mental health is also like... Yeah. The NBA seems to be the first thing that's even acknowledging that as being real.
Yeah.
And anybody who says anybody, like Kevin Love said he had a panic attack and had to leave the court.
Yeah.
And anybody that says anything about that has never had a panic attack. Like, because you think, oh, I've panicked before. How can that make you? Well, it's because you're an idiot and you don't know what you're talking about. Like, people do that all the time.
They're, oh,
why wouldn't I? I wouldn't do this. It's because you don't know what that actually is.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what a panic attack is.
Mm-hmm.
You've been nervous or whatever, or you thought, oh, is that a burglar?
Yeah.
But
I wish that was what Kevin thought on court.
Yeah, right?
He saw someone in the rafters of, like, the Quicken Loans Arena.
But Kevin Love thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what a panic attack is. Yeah, you're like, I think I'm dying right now. I don't know. My body is shutting down.
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is, and... You have to take a minute to regroup, and people just don't understand it because it doesn't show up on an X-ray.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's just as real. I mean, you're fucking, they talk about your goddamn brain all the time.
Yeah.
He's got a high basketball IQ. So you know that there's a brain involved.
Yeah. I had a panic attack in a cab once when, on the, radio, they were talking about Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and I thought, is she still alive? And then I thought, oh, some weird combination of, I wonder if she'll still be alive when Seinfeld ends. And I thought, what if I die before Seinfeld ends? And then that spiraled into me being in the cab, being like, oh, I have to get out of here. It was a very strange logical link. That was around the time Seinfeld was real popular.
Yeah. It was like 95, 96.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Season 6.
Yeah.
So you had a couple years left.
I mean, look, a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. Before
you lived so much longer than Seinfeld.
Yeah,
yeah.
The show, not the man. I mean, you. Who knows? You might die before Seinfeld. The man. Ends.
I don't drink as much coffee as he does. That's for sure.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, I don't. And neither of us are doing college gigs because of that PC culture.
No. Right. Seinfeld is. Can't figure out why 19-year-olds don't think he's hilarious.
And like, but it's bothered by it.
Right? It's because you're in your mid-60s and you have $500 million. I don't necessarily find you that funny anymore.
I don't know. I mean, the new crop of kids that are going to be going to college soon love the B-movie. B-movie is real popular with the young kids. Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I like about B-movie is the one YouTube video that's... this movie gets faster every time the word B is mentioned.
Yeah, that's like the tip of the iceberg on B-movie.
It's a YouTube where like it starts at... regular speed, and the first time the word B is mentioned, it speeds up slightly, and then every time the word B is said, the film speeds up more and more.
It's how long's the video?
It's like 7 minutes long.
Yeah, because by the end of it, it's like it's great.
Yeah, so I have a friend who's a high school teacher, and she says that like the kids talk about the B movie. Like it was the thing that was real popular like a year and a half ago. So those kids are going to get to college and be like, "Where's my B movie comedian coming to my campus so I can, you know?"
Then they're yell at them. All getting a comedian's coffee and cars and stuff.
Get Jerry Seinfeld, the gateway drug.
I mean, honest to God, man, I've heard so many stories about. From comics talking about PC things that have happened, but it's never happened to them, and I've never seen it happen.
Yeah.
And I don't hear about it from audiences. I only hear about it from fucking comics.
It's like hypothetical, you know.
Can you believe this? And then I go, well, what happened? What happened to you?
Yeah.
What situation happened to you? Tell me what happened to you.
Yeah. And often, a lot of times, the answer is, oh, your joke wasn't that good. And now you're mad.
Yeah. I did this joke about Mexicans, and it didn't. It was like, oh,
they're too sensitive for my not well-constructed joke about Mexicans.
Oh, you're racist. That's what happened. I mean, a lot of the times, the PC people, like, what they're talking about is,
you know what?
They're being babies. They're being stupid little bitches about this whole thing because they don't. They are being told, because there's no cops, there's no handcuffs, there's no jail. You are just, so you're like, oh, you can't say anything anymore. To me, all I said was, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're telling me I can't say you're an asshole? What are you, the PC police? Because that's all it is when now there's like a handful of words that we're right in like a shift, like a cultural shift.
Yeah.
We're not even in it. It happened. It happened 10 years ago, probably.
Right, right, right.
20 years ago for people who were better at it, and now for people who are worse at it. And the people who are worse at it now are, boy, are they fighting back against it. They want to be able to say all the words they said in 1994, but without, they want their ability to say their shit, but not everyone else's ability to say, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Well, also, a lot of times when there's something that falls, you know, gets categorized as like a PC thing, a lot of times as an audience member, I'll just be like, no, I mean, I got that joke. It just wasn't like, it's a thought that people had 10 years ago or whatever it is. It's like, you're trying to sell me something that's not original or insightful. If you're going to say something about Chinese people, you better have some real insight about it and not just say that like we eat dogs and all this stuff. Cause I'm not going to laugh at a joke about Chinese people eating dogs. Not because it's not funny, because I heard it 30 years ago when I was a kid, you know? So, like, I'm not offended by
it. It's not. Just, I mean, it was, I would argue it was never funny.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares if Chinese people eat dogs? Why don't we?
I mean, French people eat horses.
We just, because we name them? Then just name the cows and stop eating those. Like, it doesn't, like, none of that matters. It doesn't. It's all people just being. You're so right, though. There's so many. No one has ever been offended by something they laughed at.
Right. Like, they laugh.
So if you're upset about your joke, then make your joke. If they're upset about your joke, then your joke isn't funny enough to have tricked them.
Yeah.
So get better at comedy.
Yeah. Totally. Because you can definitely laugh at something and then be like, ooh. Do I think that? Like, oh. Like
that was, it was a little transgressive. I laughed at that. Like, people like that. There's a reason people like comedy. Is because it makes them laugh, you know? And like, if you say something
this
that
is similar to the, like, the weakness in the 3-point strategy is when you don't make them. Yeah. We're going to wrap it up, but I want to show Casey something.
And, it's over already?
Yeah, we're at 1 hour. Listen.
We're at an hour. You guys make a good podcast. It just breezes by.
Jeff.
Hell yeah.
We have a challenge that we're going to do. Oh. When it's not raining.
It's not raining.
It's not going to, you're not going to throw ice on me, are you?
No. No, Casey and I are going to go to a local court.
Yep.
We're going to see if we can miss 27 three-pointers in a row the way the Rockets did.
Yeah, we believe that we can shoot better than the Rockets in game 6 of the finals.
Yeah. So to that end, Casey, I purchased, and it should be arriving tomorrow, the All-Net Basketball Shooting Aid Hoops Training Shooting Device.
Oh, you put it on the net and it brings the ball back?
No. This, you put it on your fingers and it spreads your fingers. So that, and it keeps your palm from hitting the ball.
Oh.
4 stars on Amazon, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to train a little bit figures. Before we take this. Yeah, we both just got new phones, and they have this app that lets you record you know what you shoot and where you shoot it from, and it tracks your misses and makes. So we're like very excited to get out there and do this.
The
challenge.
New iPhone, it can like it tracks your stats for you and where you shot on the court.
The future, it's amazing.
So
yeah.
It's like you got Kevin Artovitz on your phone.
Yes, exactly.
That's just an update. We'll try this product out.
I want to real quick before we do wrap up. I want to go back to briefly say one thing about the defensive metrics.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
They should only be team based,
like 5
yeah.
minute.
Like as soon, yeah, as soon as you try to make them individual, they fall apart and. That's also how defense falls apart. Yeah. So why even bother making individual defensive? Because it needs, like, it works best when it's all five, like you were saying earlier with the team, like.
Team philosophy.
Yeah, team philosophy, the way, like, team defense.
Yeah.
that every defensive metric should be team based and lineup based, and not like which five guys do what the best. That's the way you're going to learn the most about your players.
Yeah.
And about how you play defense, because you also don't play defense. There's also more than one guy playing defense.
Right.
What about like an in-between, like three dudes, like a three-man part of the five-man lineup that you look at and you're like, okay, these three, no matter who they're paired with, they perform relatively similarly.
You could tell that from the five-man lineups. If you're looking at five different five-man lineups and three of them have the same three guys and they're clearly the best three, then you could just tell that from the five-man lineup. You don't need to have a three-man.
I think that perfect answer. I think it totally works for team evaluations. It's just that like there's a demand for individual ones because of like free agency trades and also fucking Reddit. Like people want on Reddit to be able to point to a number and be like, this guy's better than that guy.
But that does not mean that they're right.
Yeah, I like that sound of Kennedy.
They're all wrong.
Kennedy.
Like, just because you want one doesn't mean you get one.
Yeah.
I want to know if Jokic is the fourth best defensive player in the league. Well, he's not, and I don't give a fuck if you just like that you can link to it on Reddit to say it's true. It isn't. It doesn't even matter. Like, those numbers, what I'm saying is that those numbers for Jokic don't matter.
Yeah.
They're irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's like if you just said...
That's not what ESPN wants you to think.
ESPN doesn't want you to think anything.
They ESPN just wants to tell you what to think.
Yeah, they just put stuff under the insider line so you'll pay.
Oh, man, I was so mad that they got rid of Insider for ESPN Plus, you guys. Blah.
Jokic is now, he's fallen. He's the 17th best defensive player in the league now.
No, that seems right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you know we should go back and... Yeah. It still doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But the Jokic-anchored Nuggets lineups are probably solid lineups.
Yeah.
And so that will give you an idea of... All the lineups that Jokic is in, if you want somebody on your team or if you're a free agent and you're on those lineups, the agent should use the five-man lineups and be like, look, Gary Harris is good. He's good on team defense. He understands philosophy. He understands the concept of team defense, as you can tell by these metrics.
Weird. Jeff actually brought charts into the room.
I have for Gary so Harris. Many charts for Gary Harris. I love Gary Harris and Will Barton because they have the two like super basic names. I love basic names. Uncle names.
You love a Jason Smith.
Jason Smith. Yes.
Joe Smith was your favorite player of all time?
Joe Johnson was my
Joe
favorite.
Joe Johnson. Oh, there you go.
Joe Johnson's actually got a little bit more flavor than Joe Smith.
Yeah. Jeff, you, I think you're hilarious. I love you on Twitter.
I can't believe you're saying this, man.
What are you on Twitter? Jeff Tate?
Jeff Tate 96.
96, yeah. I'm looking at your upcoming dates on your website.
No, those are all old.
Oh, is this 2018? Oh, this is 2018.
This is 2018.
Right. I just clocked that.
Oh, there's 2018 dates on there?
It says 2018 upcoming dates. January 24th, Dallas, Texas Hyenas Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah, that didn't even happen.
Houston, Texas, The Secret Group?
That one happened.
Oh, cool. I'm from Houston.
I got a ticket. I got pulled over and the cops found my weed.
Oh, no.
Whatever. I mean, I prorate that down to pennies a day. It's been like 22 years I've been driving around smoking weed. And then once I got a ticket, that guy was like, that's a pretty expensive mistake. And I was like, pennies a day.
Well, follow Jeff on Twitter. He's hilarious. And also, good luck to the Sixers.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck to basketball in general. I just like basketball in general.
Yes.
That's why I love the League Pass, because I can watch any.
League Pass.
Okay. Hell yes.
I've been watching so many games based on who wears those new Puma sneakers.
Wait, who are you blacked out of from seeing on League Pass? Like,
Nobody. Like, maybe Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
If it's, I mean, it's
does
weird
it change
because.
When you're on the road?
It does.
Yeah, it does. But it's, Detroit and Indianapolis are both closer to me than Cleveland.
Okay.
But Cleveland their games are on Fox Sports Ohio sometimes.
Oh, cool.
So it's just Cleveland. So it's not really a problem. It was like, I like watching LeBron a lot. And I've honestly, it hasn't been more fun to watch LeBron than on these Lakers in forever. They've just been playing the same style for so long.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't run. The rest of the Lakers are cool.
Well, Jeff, we got to have you back next time you're in LA, because since you're also kind of near Detroit, if Detroit sustains, We'll have some like Blake talk to have Blake next talk. Time you're in town.
Oh, Blake talk. Yeah, I can do Blake some talk. Blake talk. Yeah, I watched him score 50 against the Sixers. I was rough.
But good for him.
Good for him. I mean, that and one at the end to seal it and win the game.
That was great.
That's the thing that I like about basketball the most is even when the team you're rooting for doesn't win, it's still basketball. Yeah. Like basketball is still so much more fun to watch by itself.
And when the other player, when the other team does something amazing, you're still just kind of like, well, you know.
Yeah.
And that is also the crux of why I don't like James Harden. Because when he does it, you're just like, oh, I'm watching him grab someone's elbow and like bring it in for a foul.
Right. When Mike Lowell hit that home run in game one of the 2003 NLCS against the Cubs in Wrigley Field, and he was on the Marlins. I wasn't like, oh, cool home run.
No,
God, right. that was such a cool movie made. Nice swing, Mike. I was just fucking mad.
Yeah,
but when anything happens in basketball, if it's a cool move, I don't care. That and one that Blake made to beat the Sixers. I wish it wasn't against the Sixers, but I'm still glad it happened.
It was good as hell.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Jeff, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I love it.
And we'll be back next week with a regular episode.
Perfect.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.
Bye.